You know, sometime this time of year, I always wonder if I'm going to really be able to get into it this year. Have you ever, has it ever entered your mind, like, you know what, how long can we keep this Christmas thing up before it gets boring? I don't know, but it seems like it has its own life, right? It seems like it even though, things change and people change, situations change, for me, I can only speak for me, but Christmas tends to stay the same, tends to have that same beauty about it, because the whole world stops and celebrates Jesus. All over the world, they stop and say, with all the disagreements, and this one doesn't like that one, and this one hates this one, and all the issues that people have that are complicated, immigration and this and that, everybody stops and says, but wait, there is one thing more important than all that. Jesus was born. That we have a great Savior. Woo! Man, I'm happy today. How you guys feeling? What's even better today is that the time that's up there usually telling me when to stop is not even there right now. I feel like it's a miracle. A Christmas miracle just happened. I'll try to be good to you today. I want to talk to you about receiving the gift of Christmas, because we've been talking about communion, and I honestly, last 2 weeks, I planned two different messages, and on Sunday morning, both Sundays, last Sunday, this Sunday, the Lord really changed the whole thing. So I just feel like I actually wasn't even going to have communion today, but I felt like the Lord this morning said, no, we need to have it, because there's so much in the giving of what, the receiving of what Jesus gave at Christmas when he gave us his life. When he appeared on the earth to reveal God's love, there's such a gift that is received by us that it's important to stop and measure that gift. You know, one of the downsides of, I was not raised wealthy, but you don't realize that in this country how well you have it until you go to a country like Haiti and other countries and you realize, you got it pretty good. And you were raised, you don't know it, but you were raised like a rich person. One of the downsides in having plenty of food and having plenty of stuff and having, good things in life, one of the downsides is you don't stop and realize it sometime. And you don't stop and understand the cost of, that gift that you receive at Christmas or that food that you have at Christmas, because we get kind of accustomed to it. And I think it's true about Christianity as well. Sometimes we don't remember because we've been lavished with such abundance, sometimes we just don't consider. And that's why it's important, I think, to stop and just remember. When Jesus said, whenever you have communion, whenever you have this supper, he said, I want you to stop and remember me. And that word in the Greek, remember, means to call me affectionately back to memory. And I know sometimes I'll hear a song, from like the 60s or 70s, and I'll be like, I'll remember. My first song with Diane and I, when she hated me before she loved me, our first date, I was one of those guys that wore slinky shirts. I had that waistband. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. It had like the knit waistband, and there was the colorful, fluffy top, like the monkeys and stuff would wear. And I had like a medallion on, and she's from Macomb, and so she liked Southern rock, like the Allman Brothers, Lord, I was born a rambling man. And so, but I was into pop music, and I was drifting into disco. God help me. I was going fast. And so, but I took her out on her first date, and it was a great night. But I had a terrible habit of, I'm a singer, so whatever came on the radio, I would just sing. And that the song, remember back when the radio played the same song, every third song was the same song? You only had one radio station, and if they played a song, it was like every other song was the same song. And that was when it was a hit song called Don't Rock the Boat, Baby. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, don't tip the boat. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. And really, looking back, it was such an irritated song. But my wife from Macomb is now, she had to hear me sing it over and over. Rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby, rock the boat. This is our first date. This is how she gets to know me. Don't tip the boat over. Crank it up. It's playing again. Come on. Rock the boat. It is all true. And that's when she said, man, I hate this guy. and whatever his shirt thing is that he's wearing. But every time I hear that song, you know, it reminds me of those days of when I was 17, 18, and when we were dating, and it reminds me of how love began in our life and all that. And that's what communion is for us. It's to draw him affectionately back to our memory, because this is not a religion. It is a divine love encounter. It's this relationship that we have that one day, when we understood what he did, we came into such a love that nothing else mattered. And I remember, you know, talking to my wife when we first fell in love, you know, and you know, y'all remember those phones that were kind of heavy and they'd be on your ear for a long time and that your ear would start hurting and you'd flop to the other ear. And then this one was, you, when it stopped pulsating, then you'd go back over to this ear. You know, this can't last forever. But then your arm is hurting, and you know, you said, you hang up. No, you hang up. You felt like it was some kind of insult to your love if the other person hung up first. No, you hang up. No, you hang up first. So we don't do that anymore. But I remember sometimes Diane hangs up before I'm finished a sentence now. Hang up. Hello? I thought you were finished. Text me. I thought you were finished. But I remember those days of, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord, how it was truly like that, where nothing else really mattered. Because I love the scripture says, we love him because he first loved us. That if you never really get how much God loves us, you'll think he's always upset and always disappointed, always feels like you ought to do more or better, and that he's just got a general attitude about you. You know, it's just easy. The further you get from God, the more you see him as rules. And the closer you get, the more you see him as a relationship. You know, I have children, and I can tell you, just because my children do wrong doesn't make me love them any less. When they make mistakes, I actually are kind of drawn to them. Yes, I'm aggravated, and I could choke them. But, but I don't love them any less than I love them, because my heart is going out to them, because I'm wanting them to be good. I'm wanting them to be have a good life, and I'm wanting them to be a success. And that's how God sees us. We have this. He has this deep abiding love that never gives up. And when you understand that God is like that, that he's like a parent that's on your side and saying, look, don't you give up. Don't you let go. Don't you give up. Don't you turn on me. Don't you walk away. And if you walk out, I'm walking right after you. That God is this, everybody had this feeling of God the Father, which is an authority figure. Then Jesus came to the earth and they said, oh, so that's what God's like. Jesus said, yeah. If you see me, you've seen the Father. He said, look, this is it. This is what God's been trying to tell you. I'm like this. I'm awesome to be around. I just want to hug you and help you and bring you into your purpose, into your dream, my dream for you. And so communion is like the renewing of that and of all the great things that we learn. We have to understand that that is a great gift. That God, you know, this is a great time of year of eating, isn't it? We had a great meal at my house the other night with friends over and having them. I'm eating tonight. I'm going to be eating till who knows. I'm just eating right now. Everything is about eating, right? We had graduation year. We ate yesterday. We just eat. And I'm getting super used to it, by the way. you know, just because you can't walk after Thanksgiving doesn't mean the next day you're not hungry. Actually, later that day, you're like, man, I was stuffed, but I'm starting to feel like I could have some pecan pie right now. Give me some potato salad with that. But Jesus put this whole idea of eternal life in the picture of a meal. And since we had these tables, I thought it was really good for us. Because he said, the Passover was a meal that they celebrated during a holiday. And he said, let me just say, eternal life is as simple as something that you do several times a day. You sit down and you have this meal. He said, that's eternal life. And even when Jesus fed the 5,000, he was illustrating. See, it has to do with me giving you something and you receiving. You sup with me and I'll sup with you, like it says in the book of Revelation. It has to do with sitting down and having supper. This is eternal life. Let's sit down and have supper. Let's, the people that you don't eat with strangers, by the way, right? I mean, I don't even like to eat unless I have friends with me. I see, like, Michael Lester's in New Orleans. Anybody want to have dinner with me tonight? I know you're here. I'd be like, anybody. He's just inviting anybody. I ain't eating alone. Y'all want to eat? I wonder who answers that sometimes. Like, I'm in New Orleans. Anybody want to eat? But nobody likes to eat alone because typically the people that we're close to or we want to be close to, those are the people that we share a meal with because there's a circle that we have of people that we love and we trust, and those are the people that we invite to the table to eat with us. And so Jesus said, I'm going to make this so simple because this is a relationship that we have. And I want you to read, if you have your Bible, John 6 chapter, the 53rd verse. Oh, look, they put the screen back up there. Thank you very much. It's just a miracle. It just appeared in the back. Another miracle. John 6, 53, 58. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Man, what a statement. Maybe I can get the worship team to come back up, because we're going to receive the elements here in a moment. But I wanted you to remember some things today. Most assuredly, I say to you that unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. Everybody say, life in you. In other words, unless you do something, you don't have life. And, of course, the logical flip of that is if you eat, you will have life. And that word in the Greek, life, is the word zoe. And it's not like human life. It has to do with God life, God breath. And so God indicates here, Jesus indicates here, that without this meal, without this connection, you don't have zoe. You have normal life. You know, in the beginning, the Bible says that God made Adam a living soul. That word soul is a common word, and it doesn't mean, it means an animal, a living animal. He made him a living animal. But this word in the Hebrew, we'll read in a minute, is the Hebrew word nefesh, which means alive. After, in God's image and his likeness, right? His likeness. God-like life. Meaning what? He said you have no zoe. Your problem is you don't have any zoe. Unless you make a habit of eating something and drinking something, you're going to live without zoe. In other words, you're not going to have that Holy Spirit instinct to say, you know what, don't say that. You're not going to have that desire that says, you know what, you ought to do something nice. You ought to say you're sorry. You ought to forgive. What makes us more than animals is zoe. It's not our education, some people think. It's not how smart we are that makes us in the likeness of God. It's zoe. It's God life. And he said, the only way you get zoe is you have to eat it and you have to drink it. Now, Jesus said, I'm talking about something spiritual here, and a lot of people couldn't understand it. Maybe you are having a difficulty understanding. He said, no, listen, this is important. You got to come to that table. You got to eat and you got to drink, or you're not going to have zoe in you. Life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. So he says eternal life even is about eating and drinking. It's a meal. It's about participating with a meal. And as you come to this table, not only do you not have zoe, this spark of God inside of you, but you don't have eternal life. That you'll just be dull and cut off the rest of your life. Eternal life is a meal. It's about eating and drinking. And I will raise him up in the last days, for my flesh is food indeed. Stop there for a minute. What does it mean? He said, this is not religious. This is not faking it. We're not trying to, this is not some kind of a phony symbol. This is not a cracker and juice that we just pretend. I guess it could be to you. Jesus said, this is real. Indeed means this is real. Right? To be free indeed means really free. When he says food indeed, he says, no, you're about to eat something real. It's not a symbol. It's going to have a real effect on you. This is really the body of Christ. This is really the blood of Jesus. He said, my blood is drink indeed. He said, it's not a religion. It's not something you do, some ritual you do. It's real blood. It's real. It's going to have a real effect on your life. It's going to give you something. You'll walk out of here different if you understand what you're about to eat and drink. Because all of your relationship with God is a meal to receive bread and to receive wine. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Listen, Jesus is not just talking. He said, listen, when you do this, he said, you're not just going to have a Sunday morning visit. You're going to live with me, and I'm going to live in you. I'm going to have all that is me inside of you, and all of you is going to be inside of me. Man, this is a crazy meal. This is a meal that's going to change everything. You're going to abide. You're going to stay. And some of you, maybe that's an issue. You know, one day you're right with God, the next day you're not right with God. And one day you're focused and you're in, the next day you're not sure and all that. Well, you need to have a good meal and link back into this relationship and understand that there's something about this that just makes you want to stay. I don't want anything else. I don't need anything else. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who sins, see who feeds on me, will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Just so you could take this with you today, number one, eternal life is receiving. Eternal life, this change, this thing, the spark that you've seen in other people, this thing maybe you used to have in your life, this is not about achieving, it's about receiving. It's not about changing everything in your life. It's about everything being changed in your life. It's about saying, you know what? I'm just going to receive what Jesus did. I'm just going to receive. And when you do, that's when change comes. Then when you do, something radical happens. When you release your faith toward what he did, something inside you changes. Life, eternal life is receiving something. Not achieving something. Not working. Not getting rid of your habits and getting rid of your mouth and all the stuff that you say and all the stuff that you do. It's about eternal life. It's just come to the table, eat and drink, bam. Change happens. He prepared the meal. You just have to eat it. Number two, eternal life is receiving bread. Bread is the words of life. Jesus said, I'm like the manna that came down from heaven. John, the first chapter, Jesus said this. John, first chapter, the first verse says, in the beginning was the Word. W, capital W. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. There's that word again, Zoe. In him was Zoe. And the Zoe, the life, was the light of men. In him, he activated mankind. You are a great potential to be something great, to do something great. But when Jesus came and he activated mankind with life. He said, this is the word that came down. So we today have to decide if we receive the words that I'm saying today. The words of Jesus that I'm reading, that Jesus, what does it say? You know, all you know this piece of bread. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever would believe in him, would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. But God sent his son to the world that they might be saved. And the Bible says, and this is condemnation, that light came into the world and men chose darkness. This is about the word that is receiving the bread. It means just receiving his word. That you have eternal life because of what Jesus did. That you have a change in your life because of what Jesus did. that as you sit at this table, God changes you from glory to glory and from victory to victory. When you receive His word, you receive Zoe. You know, Joyce Myers, her things, there's life in the word. It comes from that. In His word, there's Zoe. You could sit down in the morning, open that Bible, and if you will be still and listen, bam, and actually eat that, boom, you get some life. Zoe comes back into you. You start thinking, right? That dullness, that sketchiness leaves your life and you step into something special. Number three, eternal life is receiving blood. It's receiving blood. The blood paid the price for your life. I'm going to read it in a moment and I'm going to close. Leviticus says the life of a thing is in its blood. The life is in the blood. It was forbidding people to drink blood, and Jews still don't drink blood because he said, life is in the blood. Everybody say it. Say, life is in the blood. So we already found out that Zoe was in the bread, right? Life is in the blood. This Hebrew word in Leviticus, we'll read in a moment. Actually, let's read it right now. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in its blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for your souls. If you read it, this is what it's saying. An animal, its blood is its life. That's the life of something. The actual life of something is in that blood. And this word in the Hebrew, nefesh, it means it's soul. The soul of something is in its blood. In respect to salvation and what Jesus did for us, He traded His blood for your blood. The price of sin is death, the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. God said, the soul that sins shall surely die. Death comes upon the sinner. God said it. It was set in motion. And all of the children of Adam, even though they wanted to do right, they still did wrong. And when they did wrong, God said, I've got to make an exchange. You've got to pay life for your disobedience and your rebellion. And Jesus came and said, I'm going to trade my blood for their blood so that they don't have to shed their blood. I'm going to shed my blood. The very one that made the rules paid the price. I'm going to pay for their life with my life. Isn't it wonderful? Is God good? Your disease is in your flesh and in your blood, the Bible says. The disease of sin, that sin nature that was handed us by Adam. It's that rebellious, I ain't gonna do it. It's that thing that makes you want to oppose everything good that God tries to do in your life. It's part of who you are. And the Bible says that when you receive this blood, you've heard me say it before, there it was in Leviticus. The Bible says in the Old Testament, don't drink any blood because it's a life. But in the New Testament, Jesus said, you have to drink this because my nefesh is in that blood. You need to understand, nefesh, it means personality. It means intellect. It means my nature is in that blood. It means that who I am, not just the value of who I am, that's how I bought your soul. But the nature of who I am is in that blood. And when you drink my blood, my nature gets inside of you. What's right with me heals what's wrong with you. That aggravating, always feeling lazy and not wanting to do the right thing and opposing yourself, that thing that everybody in here knows very well, keep stumbling you up and tripping you up. That thing is the enemy. And Jesus said, I'm the cure. But I've got to get my blood into you. I've got to get my nefesh. I've got to get my life. I've got to get my nature. I've got to get my heart. I've got to get my thinking. I've got to get my impulse into you. I'm just preaching. I might be over preaching, but I love it, man. And I want you today, the ushers are going to release the elements. And today we're going to receive. Come on, they're going to serve you today. Something in His blood is going to touch your blood. And what's in His blood is going to change what's in your blood. It's not just going to pay for eternal life. Thank God for that. But He didn't leave us as failures and strugglers. He said, I'm going to get my nature inside of you. It is not something that you achieve. It's something you receive. Now, for you, if it's just a ritual, it's a cracker and it's some juice, well, that's all you'll ever get. But for me, this is Zoe. This is Nafesh. This is the actual life of Jesus. I'm going to receive the life of Jesus. How about you? Because I receive his word. I receive his word. I receive that bread that was broken for me. I receive the bread that came down from heaven. His word that said, you didn't think you were worth it, but I think you're worth it. Where his body was broken so that we could be healed. If you don't mind, once you get it, just hold the bread in your hand. And let me ask you a question, because this is totally personal. Everything that has to do with eating is personal, doesn't it? I mean, I know Steve doesn't like pecans. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he doesn't like pecans. I'd learned that, and I think you can't even be in Louisiana, but we're going to go ahead and allow you to stay. But everything you eat is personal. You know, it's a personal taste. So it can't be a group. You have to decide if that's for you. You have to decide if this is for you. But today, as we get ready to receive the gift and remember, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter says, some of you are sick and some are even dead because you did not rightly discern the body of Christ. Because they were just grabbing bread and, you know, eating and fighting over it. And he said, hey, look, this is God. This is the New Testament. God says, some of you are sick and some of you are dead because you didn't rightly discern the body of Christ. You didn't stop and examine yourself. And you didn't say, wait a second, this is real. And what does that mean when we talk about the bread, not understanding? Well, you say, Pastor Bray, it's the word. It is the word, but we are also the body of Christ. That bitterness kills people. Anger makes people sick. Stress is the root of sickness in people's lives. And it's very hard to really receive this if you're still stressed out all the time. If you're still mad at folks all the time. And you're still judging people all the time. And you hate this one because he's black. And that one because they're a woman. And that one because... And you're mad at that one because... Listen. You take this. You got to leave all that behind. It's a table. But it's a table where... It's an altar where you said, I'm leaving that behind. I don't care who hurt you. What divorce you went through. Who was unfaithful. Who betrayed you. At that point, you have to say, I did the same thing to Jesus and he's forgiving me. Come on, somebody. So therefore, I'm going to let everybody off. And that's where it ends. Listen, if you want God to forgive you, if you want God to forget about your past, if you want God to come into the new and leave the old behind, he wants to do that too. But you have to be willing to forgive somebody else. You have to be willing to let them go. You have to stop judging people. You have to stop believing the best in people. And yet start believing the best in people and stop believing the worst in people. You have to stop writing people off. And you have to be willing to receive people the way Jesus sees them. They're just awesome potential, but they got problems. And we have to love them through their problems. We have to love them over their problems. We have to love them in spite of their problems. We have to not let love fail. We have to let love win in those situations. So even though we receive the broken bread of what Jesus has done for us, remember, the same word that says, I've done this for you, requires us to do the same thing for others. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love each other the way I loved you. This is not a suggestion, it's a commandment. And when we take it, we have to say, yes, I want to receive that forgiveness. Yes, I want to receive that relationship. Well, you know what? You're going to need to forgive some people. And you're going to have to hug some people that you were just not talking to. I don't like it. But you know what? It's what makes you healthy. Yeah. That's why people get sick and some are dead, because they're like, I ain't going to forgive. I want to be forgiven, but I ain't going to let them go. I'll forgive them, but I ain't going to forget. Okay, please. It's an insult to this to say, I'll receive all that God has for me. You remember the story. The poor man couldn't pay the rich man, the king. And the king said, okay, I'll forgive your millions. And he went out and choked his servant and said, you're going to pay me what you owe me. And when the guy couldn't pay, he had him thrown in jail. When the king heard it, he said, wait a second, what? After all that I forgave you, you wouldn't forgive that guy? He said, take that guy and throw him back into the tormentors. Listen, stop being in a cycle where you get free and then suddenly you go back in that bondage where people are objects of your resentment and of your hurt, and that you don't see them like God sees them. Receiving this means you got to start seeing everybody the way God sees them. Yeah, but they did wrong. Well, so did you. Well, they didn't say they were sorry. Neither did you. So guess what? How about let's all choose mercy? Come on, wave at me, somebody. This means wave at me. Help me a little bit. How about let's just choose mercy over judgment? How about us just say, you know what? They don't even have to apologize. I just forgive them.